When you work in education leadership, you don't get off at 5 o'clock. Your mind is always on the clock, thinking of ways to solve problems for your students, parents, and teachers. On the Clock is your go-to podcast to learn valuable insights from education leaders across the United States. I'm your host, Todd Dallas Lamb, former White House appointee to the U.S. Department of Education, and we are now On the Clock. Welcome back to On the Clock. I am your host, Todd Dallas Lamb. You know, we've done a few shows on the topic that is fairly recently cropped up in education, which is suicidality in students. It seems like it's picked up since the pandemic, but maybe it's been a problem for longer than that, and maybe we're only now focusing on it. And I remember very vividly about 7 or 8 years ago when I was working with a charter school in Washington, D.C., and it was being forced to close, and I was meeting with the parents to find out how we could make the case to keep the school open for even one more year. And I was asking the parents what they liked most about that school in Southeast Washington, D.C. And to a person, all of these moms, and they were all moms, they all told me that this school was the first school that they felt like their child was safe. And it occurred to me right then and there that if you don't feel safe about your child at a school, then nothing else is really important. Learning takes a backseat to safety and health. And with that, I want to introduce my guests today who are trying to do something about this issue and have put a plan in place. And I want to share that with our audience as we share all of our podcasts with superintendents around the country. My guest today is Steve Miracle. He was the superintendent of Marshall County Public Schools in Marshall County, Kentucky. And he is with his supervisor of instruction, Jackie Reed. Steve, Jackie, thank you for being on the show. Tell me about the opening of schools in Marshall County. Are you getting started?
We have started. We are completing our third week. It's been a great, great start, great smooth opening, and one of the best starts we've ever had. So we're very excited. Always glad to get them back in the buildings.
It has to feel like we're now fully on the footwork of normalcy after a couple of pretty weird years few years ago, doesn't it?
It is 100%. Normal.
And Marshall County, I've been there, had dinner with you. It's one of those beautiful, bucolic, rural parts of Kentucky. How many students do you have in the district?
We have just a little less than 4,400 students in the district.
Very good. And with you is Lex Mishakis from Live Big. Live Big has a solution focused on helping adolescent girls. The issue has really cropped up amongst girls in this country a good bit more than boys, but not to say that that's not a problem for boys. And I know, Lex, you have a platform that you're rolling out in the next year for boys. But right now, and with Marshall County, the focus is on girls. Tell me a little bit about Live Big and how did a girl from Australia come to help 4,400 students in Marshall County, Kentucky?
It's a long, windy story how I made it from Australia to here. But what was always clear to me throughout my career was how much I wanted to work with adolescent girls. And so while I was on my professional journey, I went back to school, specialized in child and adolescent development and trauma, trained as a counselor. And then we launched Live Big Community last year. And what we do is support adolescent girls in building confidence, resilience, and self-leadership skills. We are very big on the skill-building piece of this. Like with anything new that we learn, be it a sport or learning how to read or an instrument, we start building skills. And these skills that we can use to take care of ourselves, to create more of what we need, they're things that we can practice and build and grow over time. So we are partnering with schools and districts like here at Marshall County to bring this work to girls, because at the core of everything that we do is self-regulation. It's being able to be regulated so that you can be in a classroom, so that you can take care of yourself. It is strengthening a sense of self and who you are in the world, and helping girls develop some mindfulness skills too, so that they can start to see what's going on in their head, that negative voice that they all hear all the time. It's not the truth, and they have other choices. So that's the work that we do, and we have a really exciting partnership.
So Jackie Reed, tell me, when I
have spoken to people about this issue, a number of things come up as it relates to girls. And one of the culprits that I always hear is social media. It's got to be is part of this problem. Body image, loss of confidence, loss of voice, depression. Is that what you are seeing? You're seeing some signs of that in your district, and I'm guessing you're hearing that from other districts as well as you travel around to conferences and talk about the problem.
Absolutely. Within our district, we at the beginning of the year we have social emotional screeners, and we have students grades third grade through senior year. They take these screeners and we look at the results and we see kind of what's plaguing our kids. And anxiety, that is a huge issue that comes up. Self-confidence. And, you know, when you look at some of those results, sometimes you think, oh, well, this is just, you know, a certain demographic or a certain group of students maybe that have experienced trauma. But really, when we started digging into it, it's all students, whether they have natural leadership skills and those natural abilities and they do great on the surface. As we started digging into this, it's every student. It affects all of them. So that was something that was kind of striking to us. And we started with the core group of leadership girls when we started looking at this. And it's been neat to kind of see how that's developed and for them to be able to see that, you know, even with their teachers and with staff members that are obviously older than they are still, you know, we are still experiencing some of those same issues with self-confidence and anxiety. And to be able to get together and talk about those things has been something that has been very helpful.
So, Steve, I grew up in a rural part of Northern California where there were a lot more fistfights and pickup trucks than there were therapists. And then I went to college, and I went to college with some kids from Los Angeles and San Francisco, and mental health was a lot easier for them to digest and talk about than it was for me and my family. You're in a rural part of Kentucky. Is this a tough topic to bring up, or have we gotten well past my primitive background in childhood?
Well, I think it's two aspects to that. So is it difficult on us for bringing it up? No, we've got nothing negative as far as feedback from this. It's been very well accepted. But to your point of being where we are in rural Kentucky, and I think any of the rural parts of the country, it is, I think, harder for those people that need to seek help to get past the stigma. So I do believe that if you don't provide some kind of an opportunity, and that's kind of the direction we're at, that's different from what people associate with the stigma. Because this is a program that's, as Lex stated, it's building skills, and it's got a lot of connections that you're making through the relationships of going through this program. So I think that people don't necessarily view this with the stigma that they would view, say, having to go seek therapy. So this is very therapeutic if you can see the program in action. And, you know, we're in our first and second days of actual training and just being able to witness the lessons and how our staff are going through them as if they were the students. You know, I can already see the connection that will take place and how those coping skills will be developed through those relationships.
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? Because I doubt whether you got into the business thinking that this was going to be an area that you were going to focus on when you were, even when you were a teacher. And so the trick here is for not just for Lex to provide her platform to your district, but to teach your district leaders how to apply this when down the road. So talk to me about how that's working.
Well, that's one of the great things about the program that Lex has put together is because it is a process where she is coming in and preparing us to stand on our own with this. And in what you just said, down the road, we will maintain and continue this with our own trainers, our own people, and our own teachers to do this for any new staff that wants to be a part of this program and work with the girls, always with the support if we need it from Lex and Live Big. But that's a very strong component to this. So that's one of the things that drew us to the program. It's obviously not the most important aspect that drew us to it, but You want to add anything, Jackie, to?
Yes, the program, it's definitely helping build capacity within our schools. And like Dr. Miracle said, the past 2 days, the training that these counselors and staff members have gone through, they are seeing the importance of those relationships and building those relationships with the students and how this curriculum is going to help develop that. So in doing so, not only is it developing that relationship that they're going to have during these sessions, but then outside of that, you know, beyond this curriculum, what they're going to continue to do and the tools that these staff members are learning are going to take them beyond even the use of this curriculum. So it's definitely helping to build capacity within our schools.
So a couple of things jump out at me. You've had a couple of days, Lex, with the staff. There's a curriculum piece. There's mm-hmm. some tools that you're trying to inculcate on the staff. Talk mm-hmm. to me about those.
Yes. I think we know as educators that in order to be able to teach something, we need to have some sort of experience or relationship to it for ourselves. So our training is really centered around that. You know, counselors, teachers, educators, whomever's going through the training, they experience it for themselves. Then we talk about it and dissect it together. They ask their questions. We talk about how does this apply to fifth grade versus 12th grade. In our program over the last few days, we've had elementary, middle, and high school counselors there. So there was a lot of putting this in the context of the developmental stage that they work with and the specific communities that they're supporting. We then practice it. So we actually take the opportunity to go through each lesson and practice it together. And it's important because these are really big conversations. They're not easy conversations to have. And so ideally the first time you do it is not with a group of girls, but it's together so you can get feedback. You can have that coaching and you can experience it for yourself. So we want our staff to leave training feeling ready to use it. Not like they're on an island on their own, they need to figure this out for themselves, but they feel prepared. They've got all the resources that they need, the support from the leadership team, and of course the support from us at Live Big too.
Well, I was going to add too. So the great thing is that, is, you know, I'm just there kind of observing as she's going through this, I'm kind of in and out, but when she talks about getting the staff to feel that as they go through it. So there's a certain amount of vulnerability that they're having to overcome as the staff. And, you know, as they're going through this, there was a point yesterday where Lex had asked them to share some of the things that they wrote about their own personal experiences. And it was crickets in the room. And she said, now, before we move forward, I want you to think, if you all are struggling to speak about this in front of each other and your adults and your professionals, when you start teaching this to your teenage students, come back to this and reflect on this and realize, okay, you as an adult struggled to speak. And so that's the piece, that vulnerability. And that connects back to what I saw was how, when this is in full swing in our district, our students are going to benefit from seeing that vulnerability in their adult teachers, professionals, role models, and how those adults kind of overcome that, because that's not something they kind of see in our roles, that we yeah. are vulnerable people. They just see us in these leadership roles as a teacher, and they see us in that role, and they don't realize we've had to overcome barriers and struggles and failures. So it's very beneficial for them to learn that, so that they can know, okay, I can fail or struggle and overcome that and find success, and it's okay.
You know, I think a lot of the problems that young people have are a failure to understand that everybody, as you say, has struggled with these problems, that you're not just a superintendent, that some period of years ago, you were a young kid trying to figure it out yourself. And I think that a lot of young people don't realize that that having those kinds of conversations can be so healthy and so so important. But you got to learn how to speak the language, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really important point, because a lot of the language around this stuff doesn't feel accessible or like you can mm-hmm. talk about it or cool, in air quotes, for those who are listening. And so part of the way we designed the program was so that it could be a language that kids can use and speak to and understand. That's a really important component of what we're doing, creating a shared language and so a shared culture across the district.
I mentioned a few of the headers that Lex has on her website that shows the various issues and anxieties that young people are having. Social media is an easy target. What is it that we think about social media that is leading to problems? And I can guess as a parent, some of the obvious ones are the bullying that takes place on social media, photos that go to body image. Talk to me about, as a parent, what are some solutions, and as a school district, what are some solutions that could tools that you give young women to deal with social media pressures?
I'll start off and just say, I think the biggest part of the problem with the social media is its constancy. So, you know, Todd, you know, back, you know, we're probably the oldest people on this podcast. So, you know, back in our day, any of the bullying or anything that went on, you know, it took place in an area face to face. But then when you went home, I mean, you might still be dealing with whatever occurred that day, but you're not being inundated with continual harassment that's out there and having access to it. So for me, the biggest thing would be to limit what the student's access is to that kind of social media, to be aware of what's, you know, to monitor their social media and know when there's a problem like that going on. That's when you really need to limit it, and to help your child understand that you can't look at those things, the negative things, and you've got to ignore those things and block those things. And again, that's where the parent, you know, hopefully is monitoring and limiting how much access they have, even the amount of time they spend on social media per day. And I can say that in my position, obviously, as a superintendent, you're not in a position that always allows you to make decisions that just makes everybody happy. So you are apt to have negative things that are out there about you. Like, I don't do social media, and I have no use for it or no time for it, to be honest. And so, but if I did, there's the potential that it could really affect how you do your job, how you think, how you see yourself. I really just don't worry about what is put out there because I know the facts of what I'm doing. But that's what we have to teach children and students, to be able to filter through what's the value of anything that's on there, the people that are criticizing, how many true facts do they even have about my circumstance or any of that, and just to understand that's just smoke out there. That's not the reality. And what's the reality? The reality are my friends that care about me, my family that cares and loves me, and helps me through things. Those are the people that I need to worry about what they think of me, and making sure they're aware of what's going on. That I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there. So, you want to add?
And I was going to say, as a mom of a seventh grade daughter, you know, just thinking about the Live Big program, and then also thinking about social media, you know, when you have girls that have that low self-confidence and they are just seeking for those likes, or, you know, how many people are going to comment on my picture or my post, and it almost becomes an addiction. You know, I need that to help my, to help build up my confidence, and I'm going to go post this, and, you know, and then maybe it gets a little bit more outrageous the next time because they need just a little bit more to start feeling confident about themselves. And they start building this false sense of the fact that social media is going to be there to fulfill that need within them. So the fact that we have the Live Big curriculum, that is going to teach them the actual tools and strategies for how to build that self-confidence. So when you think about how social media plays, you know, a part in that, you know, before having this curriculum, you know, the girls, they would rely on that. And I feel like that this curriculum is going to be a great way to show them that there are other tools out there, other strategies for helping boost that self-confidence. So,
Lex, what does loss of voice mean to you?
Loss of voice means that you don't feel empowered to say what you want to say or believe that you should say because you're too worried about whether it's going to be accepted and whether or not you're going to be liked. We know with girls that likability is a huge challenge for them. They feel that they need to have everybody around them liking them and comfortable with them. And I say girls, but like, I still struggle with that. That's true for adults as well. And so when you don't feel comfortable to speak your mind because you're afraid of the reaction you're going to get from the peers around you or even from the adults around you, then you quieten yourself, you dim your voice, and you become disconnected to the power that you have and that your voice has. It's a really big problem for our girls.
Well, it feels like as I look at, and I ticked off a number of these that are on your site at Live Big, body image, social media, loss of confidence, loss of voice, they kind of play on each other, don't they? Social media can help you if you have a body image and people are making fun of how you look, or even if you just don't like how you look, that can lead to loss of confidence. That can that can provide you a desire to lose your voice because you don't want to speak out. I mean, they all kind of build on each other, don't they? Yeah,
it's a spiral. It's a spiral. And it's a spiral that you're not even conscious that you're in. So really what we try and do is bring awareness to some of these challenges. We bring awareness for girls to what we call the voice of small, that voice in your head that's always talking to you, that's saying mean things to you. We do a lot of work on that in our training today. We bring awareness to how disconnected we can be in our bodies. We bring awareness to the fact that we don't celebrate the parts of ourselves that we like, and we really should. So it all starts with awareness, because until you realize that spiral is going on, you can't get out of it. And it's hard to get out of it.
Is there a part of your program that, and maybe this is impossible, to tell these young people, and I try to tell my own sons this all the time, this is a very brief moment in your life. But it doesn't feel that way when you're 16 years old. It feels like this is the most important moment in your life, and that every day is sort of a moment where it's like end all be all, make or break you in life. And it's really hard to tell a young person that, man, this is the first quarter. It's not even the first quarter.
I know. And the thing is, because I remember being that young person and people scoffing at me when I thought my problems were like the way that my body looked in that dress, or getting an A- instead of an A+. You know, if I had taken that to some adults, they would have been like, well, try a mortgage. Like, that's a real problem for you. But the reality is that was my entire world. That was the limits of what I knew and understood. And I think we need to come to that with a place of empathy for our kids, because they can't compute the fact that they've got many years and many problems to go. However, what they do understand, and it's one of the first things that we cover, is yes, you've got some challenges in your life right now. They are real. Do you think you can make them all disappear one day? No. You're going to have more challenges going to come up. They're going to evolve. Things are going to happen that's going to surprise you. It's not about making all of these challenges that you're experiencing in your life go away. Can't do that. What this program is about is building the skills that you need to get through these challenges and still being able to live a big life, whatever that means to you. You being able to live the life that you want to live.
Well, I can tell you, when I was 16 years old in Northern California, 6'2", 165 pounds, I got made fun of for being skinny. And I was so pale that I was told that if you put a light bulb behind my back, you could see my heartbeat. So I have some experience with a little bit of the body image stuff. And now I would kill to not have like the sunburn skin cancer stuff. And I would kill to be 165. The message I would say is wait a while. You will learn to love your body, learn to love yourself if you just give it a chance.
I'll give it a different perspective though, because I also work with a lot of women, and I think body image isn't just something that suddenly you're like, I love my body, I love myself, I love what it's allowed me to do. So yes, I think this is natural growing of confidence into yourself, but I think even as adults, we've all got these things that we grew up with that maybe we wish we didn't think about anymore, like being self-conscious about our body. But that stuff doesn't always disappear organically with time. There are still things that we can do as adults to help us work through that. So I think that's really important to call out, because we're doing the training for ourselves in here. We're working through this stuff too.
And I think, again, I said this earlier. So what's coming from this is all these skills hopefully allow for these girls to learn I use the word coping. They are, because you can't overcome these issues if you don't have the skill to cope with things. You know, coping is how we face adversity and we face struggle. We cope with it. We adapt. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that it doesn't leave its mark. It doesn't mean that we will leave it behind and forget it forever. But we have learned how to move forward and be successful with it. And so that's one of the pieces. One of the things that you've talked, so when you're talking about, you know, talking to your sons and trying to get them to understand, you know, at their age, it's kind of like not, you know, they're not even in first quarter yet. When I heard some of our staff yesterday going through that first or second lesson where they were required to write a story about a time where they faced a challenge and how they kind of moved through that. And then part of the activity was they shared, they were in a group, like they paired up and they shared and they were supposed to reflect on the aspects of Live Big and the heart that is her.
The heart guide.
And as I listened to both of those stories, when that group, the pair I was sitting in front of, when they shared, it hit me that these are, you know, I mean, these are adult women. They're not brand new teachers. These are people that they're near the end of their career. Okay. And their stories are stories that if they're sitting there with teenage girls, it's completely 100% relevant to things that these girls might actually feel right now and experiences they might be facing in the next year or so. And that was what hit me, is that's the piece where it builds this really good relationship for our girls to hear this and think, okay, this person who, let's face it, if you're 30, they think you're old. So this person that they think is just this old person, you can't relate to me. There's nothing that you don't know what it's like to go through. And then when they hear that story, because that's part of it, these, you know, the facilitator will share with the students. And that's the part that gives that credibility. And I think from what I heard, it's going to be very successful because these girls are going to hear this and think, wow, these adults get it. They've gone through something that I'm facing now, or I know I'm going to be. And that is a big step towards helping somebody really learn and move forward with this type of work.
Vulnerability is a powerful tool when used correctly. I can't help but think, Jackie, that your staff have been seeing this problem for a while. And I'm guessing that these last few days have been really powerful for them to at least now have some tools to be able to apply to the problem.
Yes. They have been so thankful that Lex has come in and has provided them with materials that really kind of structures it. And it puts a name to some of the things that they have wanted to do with girls or wanted to do with any students that they've been working with. But now they have those tools and they have those strategies where it really kind of structures it and it gives them a path to start on. And like they've been saying, you know, that connection piece where they've had to self-reflect and really look at how they've overcome challenges and put themselves in the position of how the students would feel and that vulnerability. I think that is what makes this program so unique and why we feel it's going to be successful.
Well, you know, in American education, we have a lot of problems and some of them are dealt with. Sometimes the strategies work, sometimes they don't work, but the worst thing you can do is not try something. And Steve, Jackie Reed, Lex from Live Big, I can't thank you enough for attacking this problem. This is the third time we've talked about it on this show in 2 years. And I really can't wait to see the results and maybe hear from you guys in a year or two and hear some of the success stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for spotlighting it, Todd.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Steve, you're now off the clock. You get to go back and help more students.
All right.
Thank you again.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us on your favorite podcast platform. On the Clock is part of the Strategos Podcast Network. To view the entire lineup of shows, please visit us at strategosgroup.com. See you next time.